You know, I listen carefully, and I happen to tune in on I know this huge corn ethanol lobby that's out there. There's a program on National Public Radio I happen to hear on Sunday. And they went into all this detail arguing, the refuting everything that my people in Oklahoma tell me. And because I didn't have a dog in this fight, but I ended up, because of choice, objecting to even the initial mandates. Now, I guess you're saying that you're trying to overcome the arguments that a high percentage of corn ethanol is not good on engines. And, you know, on the marine manufacturers, the small engine manufacturers, that's their number one issue right now. They say that some of these engines can operate on E10, but nothing more than that, and it's damaging to those, even that. So I want you to respond to that. But also, on April 8th, you announced a plan to install, let's start with this one, 10,000 flexible fuel pumps nationwide within 5 years. Now, I'd ask you do you have any estimate on, you know, how much this will increase corn ethanol production and what kind of budget there would be for this. As I understand, these flexible fuel pumps give you a range, and I guess the dollars are adjusted with it, from all the way from clear gas to what's the highest level of E85? Yeah. Okay, well, what do you think... if that's a possibility, the bill that I have, I'm going to pull it. We won't need it anymore.
Well, Senator, first of all, I think it's important to point out that the utilization of corn-based ethanol to meet the 36 billion gallon threshold is capped by Congress at 15 billion gallons, and we are very close to getting to that cap. It is also very clear that our attention needs to be focused on alternative sources, alternative feedstocks. We're looking at algae, woody biomass.
Yes, and I agree.
And so the other 21 billion gallons is going to be from sources other than corn-based ethanol. Corn-based ethanol is still going to be a viable mechanism for getting to that 36 billion gallons, but it's capped. As far as the flexible fuel pumps are concerned, this basically provides a more convenient supply and should increase the use of renewable fuels, not necessarily corn-based ethanol, because, again, it's capped.
But they would start with what we refer to as clear gas then, on a flexible pump, it could be. Is that what you envision?
As I understand it, what it would be is you would have a pump that would give you the appropriate blend of ethanol. I'm not sure that it would necessarily be a zero blend.
I see. Okay.
Because of the nature of the pumping and distribution systems. It would be 10% ethanol, 15% ethanol, in some cases 20% ethanol, and some states have that mandate, 85% ethanol. Okay. It would make it more convenient to get the level of ethanol that you need for your vehicle, and hopefully it would encourage the development of more flexible fuel vehicles.
If that's the case, and you stated that we're near the cap anyway, what would be the objection to passing a bill like my legislation that doesn't reduce what you want to have if you want to have corn ethanol or any other type of ethanol, but merely says that you have a choice within a state if the state legislature asks you to do it, so that if you want to have clear gas, you can. The choice is there. Now, if we're already close to the cap, what would be the argument against that?
Well, we still have a long way to go to meet the 36 billion gallon threshold that Congress has set. We've got to figure out ways in which to produce that 21 billion gallons of different type of fuel. So
but right now that would have to be corn ethanol, though, wouldn't it?
No.
Where technology is?
No. Right now, once we hit the 15 billion gallon threshold, we've got to go to a different approach to producing renewable fuel. We've got to go to cellulosic ethanol that could be using corn stover, not the kernel, but the corn, but the husk or the cob. It could be algae. It could be woody biomass. It could be landfill waste. It could be animal waste. All of those and many other ways of producing.
And the technology is coming. I understand that. We actually, in my state of Oklahoma, we're experimenting with that. In fact, I went out to California in 2008, and where they're talking about the algae and the successes they're having. That's all great. I'm talking about where technology is today, and even when the time comes, why would it not be a good idea to have it market-based so that if somebody like my wife, who won't put corn ethanol in her car, wouldn't have to do it? In other words, we'd have the choice.
Well, some states currently provide that choice, number one, and 87% of the gas that's produced today is an ethanol blend. So, I mean, I think consumers have made a choice. I know in my state we gave folks a choice, and we see close to 80% of consumers opting to use ethanol, and they like it for a multitude of reasons, not the least of which it helps American farmers and ranchers.
Well, you know, and I would say that I could make the same. You're making my case for me. Because in my state, it's just the reverse is true. And the farmers and ranchers' concern there is the cost of feedstock and our cattle people, our poultry people. Anyway, that's that makes the case for a choice, I believe.
Well, the other problem is whether or not the choice can be an environmentally equivalent choice. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case with the clean guy.
Well, the environmentalists support my legislation, so I don't think you're going to use that argument.
Well, I'm deeply concerned about water quality, which is what led us into this beginning of this conversation
Okay,
many years ago.